الحمد لله القائل في كتابه سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله وصدق رسول الله. أحمده جل وعلا على نعمه العظيمة وآلائه الجسيمة. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله الله بين يدي الساعة بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. اللهم صل وسلم عليه وصل على آله وصحابته ومن والاهم واهتدى بهديهم واستنى بسنتهم ودعا بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اجعلنا منهم. أما بعد، عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله. اتقوا الله سبحانه وتعالى واتمروا أوامره واجتنبوا نواهيه لعلكم تفلحون. My dear brothers and sisters, first of all I praise Almighty Allah. I praise Him who has praised Himself in the Holy Book by saying, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ. Glory be to Him who transported His servant Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the sacred mosque in Mecca to the farthest mosque in Jerusalem, whose blessings have been blessed by us. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, in order to show Him some of our signs. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Verily He is the one who hears all things and sees all things. Alhamdulillah, we are in the month of Rajab. It is reported that the Messenger of Allah used to say, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Ya Allah, bless us in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban and take us with your grace to witness the blessed month of Ramadan and to seize the opportunities to come closer to Him, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not going into details about the exact date of Isra and Mi'raj. The scholarly discussion continues, but the Muslim conscience throughout the centuries have looked at the month of Rajab to remember this important incident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. According to Imam Ibn Abdul Barr, one of the greatest Spanish scholars, the author of encyclopedic works on fiqh, he was a Maliki jurist and a muhaddis par excellence. And according to Ibn Hazm, no one has produced a book on fiqh al-hadith that could surpass the work of Ibn Abdul Barr. And according to Ibn Abdul Barr, and according to Imam Nawawi, the Isra and Mi'raj happened in the month of Rajab. So we use this opportunity to draw lessons from this important miracle that Allah bestowed on His Messenger, the Messenger of Mercy, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah refers to this important incident in two places in the Quran. First is the Isra, which is the night journey, the land journey from Mecca to Jerusalem. And then comes the ascension, Mi'raj, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was transported to the highest celestial heavens. And both of these incidents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the wisdom, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, in order to show Him some of our mighty signs. And as far as Mi'raj is concerned, لَقَدْ رَآ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى. He has indeed seen one of the greatest signs of his Lord. The question that should come to mind to every believer is, what is the wisdom of this miracle, and how, what kind of lessons we learn from them so that we can enhance our knowledge and understanding of Islam and the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. The first point that we should know, keep in mind, is that the Isra and Miraj took place, according to scholarly consensus, 1 year before the Hijrah of the Prophet, and it happened in the most difficult phase in the history of the Prophet, the most difficult phase that Rasulullah ﷺ ever experienced. Of course, first came when the Prophet started preaching openly. Immediately he elicited very hostile reaction. The Western interests, the aristocratic family ruling Makkah, the Quraysh, they mobilized opposition against Rasulullah, and they did not shy away from unleashing the propaganda machine and ridicule and persecution, threats, intimidations, you name it, and lynching, persecuting the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and of course insulting the Prophet, spitting on his face, you name it. And it was the most difficult. And of course, he was the only protection he had was from the chief of Hashimites, Abu Talib, his uncle. Even though he was not a believer yet, believer, he stood by his nephew. And of, so much so that when the Quraysh declared that siege, boycott of the Hashimites in order to pressurize Rasulullah to give up on his mission, and they were confined to the valley of Abu Talib, an enclosure, and they are not going to sell or transact business or marriage. So it lasted for more than almost 3 years. Prophet suffered a lot, and they had no food, and they ate leaves and even rats to survive. And of course, his wife Khadija did not survive the ordeal. She died, and Abu Talib also died, and therefore it is known as Amul Huzn, the year of grief. Very difficult on the Prophet ﷺ. Even though the siege was lifted, things were got worse for the Prophet ﷺ in Makkah, and there was no way that he could progress in his mission in Makkah. So he tried his luck elsewhere. He went to Taif, hoping that some of the leaders of Taif may hear his message and respond positively. And he visited the chiefs of Taif, and they ridiculed him and said, "Didn't God Almighty find anyone better than you to choose as a messenger? Why he didn't choose some of the chiefs of Taif?" Another person said, "If you are a messenger of God, then you are too high for me to talk to. If you are not, then you are a liar. Then I don't need to talk to you because you are below my level." And of course, then the Prophet ﷺ told them, "Look, if you don't want to accept my message, at least keep this secret. Don't expose. Of course, that is what they did. They mobilized the hooligans and the children, the teenage, the madmen, the thugs, to drive him out of Taif, and he was pelted with stones. And the Prophet ran away from Taif bleeding. Bleeding. This is the Messenger of Allah. And of course, exhausted, he sat down in the shade of an orchard, a palm tree, and there he supplicated to his Lord. And of course, this is a prayer that is worth reflecting upon. We have no time to reflect on it, but the Prophet of Allah poured his heart before his Lord and said, you know, what did he say? Did he know? Did he complain? He did not. He said, if only you are happy with me, if only you are pleased with me, I will bear it all. Your countenance, which lights the heavens and the earth, is my refuge. The Prophet of Allah opened his heart and supplicated. And of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, when you supplicate, pour your heart before the Lord. Be like the brokenhearted, the helpless. Turn to Allah, weeping and crying, helpless. And that is what the Prophet did sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course, immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him signs. Of course, this sight of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being driven out and running away and bleeding, exhausted, moved the heart of one of the kafir who is related, the owner of the orchard that he was sitting. Of course, it is a relation, he is a Qurayshi, he is a kafir. So he called his servant and took a cluster of grapes and said to his servant, take this to that man. And of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked one grape and invoked the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and ate it. And of course, immediately this spectacle moved the servant, who was a Christian, because he never saw the Quraysh saying grace before eating or drinking. And he asked, there was an exchange between Rasulullah and Abbas, and the Prophet asked him, where are you from? He said, I am from Nineveh. So the Prophet said, then you are from the land of my brother Yunus ibn Matta. How do you know Yunus? The Addas asked. The Prophet said, I am a messenger. He was a messenger of God. And of course, Addas' heart immediately melted. He kissed the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his hand and declared the testimony of faith. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Rasulullah how when he is rejected by his own people, a foreigner accepts Islam. This is the first sign. Secondly, the Prophet then moved on and he took a rest. Of course, anybody who has traveled from Makkah to Taif, the rugged mountains, the Prophet is walking, maximum he may be using a camel, and he is alone, he is only accompanied by Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu. And look how much trouble he has taken climbing those mountains and reaching Taif. And of course, he comes back and he has a sleep and is awakened by Angel Jibreel, who tell orders Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give the order. Here is the angel of mountain. He is at your order. If you order, he will cross these two mountains on the Quraysh, on the Meccans. And that will be the end of their end. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? No. I hope that they will come from the ruins those who would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, look at people of Taif coming at the ninth year of Hijrah to Medina, all by themselves, saying allegiance, declaring the Shahada. And look at the people of Makkah, who drove him out, later on would welcome him to Makkah. And of course Makkah would be won over to Islam. And of course then comes this night journey, Isra and Mi'raj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned from Taif, and he's sleeping near the Kaaba. And there comes Angel Jibreel with the celestial mound, which is called Al-Buraq. Today, human mind can conceive. Travel, they discuss about, can you travel faster than the light? Yes, it is possible. But they discovered that because the universe is ever expanding, you know, if you have a mark and travel towards that, you cannot reach there because it's expanding. The target is going beyond and beyond. So you can never reach your goal because the universe is ever expanding. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it would take 1 month for a traveler to go from Makkah to Jerusalem, another month to come back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, glory be to him who transported his servant Muhammad, Abdihi, his servant, his chosen servant, in a fraction of night, laylan, qita'a min al-layl, according to Mufassir, is a fraction of night. This journey, the distance is wrap for him. You know, he mounts Buraq. The name of the mound is Buraq. Buraq means light, traveling faster than the speed of light. You see, who gave this name to this mound? Today, the science made it possible for us to visualize that. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not live in this century. There was no concept of traveling faster than light or speed of light and things like that. How did this name come from? It's inhu illa wahyun yuha. It's revelation, inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the Prophet was first taken. He mounts that, and just instantly he reaches Jerusalem, and there is gathered the assembly of prophets from Adam alayhi salam until Isa alayhi salam, the last one from the children of Israel. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he completed the circle of prophecy, ana khatamun nabiyyin, I am the seal of prophets, there is no prophet after me, because he is the seal. The prophecy comes to a full circle through his arrival. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is chosen to lead them in prayer. Of course, this is in the celestial form. Today, people, scientific research is going on about near-death experiences. And it has disclosed, revealed worlds that are hidden from us. As believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the believers, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They believe in the unseen realities. Meaning, we don't simply think that the reality is what we see and hear and conceive. Reality is beyond. There are hidden worlds, dimensions which are hidden from us. Scientifically now, it's possible to conceive a human being every day. Scientists are discovering more and more secrets of the universe. And of course, even people seeing and conversing with the departed souls. Now scientific research is going on and is coming to confirming what was told to us by the prophets in the revelation. So the prophet met the prophets in their celestial forms, and then of course he is taken to the celestial heavens, the higher spheres, and he meets Adam alayhi salam, he meets Yahya and Isa, he meets Ibrahim alayhi salam, he meets Musa alayhi salam, he meets Yusuf alayhi salam, and he says about him that as if Allah has given him half of the beauty of the world. Of course, then you may ask why. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he was taken near the lotus tree. That is the end. Nobody can travel beyond that to the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the uppermost limit, and is the uppermost limit of knowledge of even chosen prophets and angels. Sidratil Mundaha Indaha Jannatul Ma'wa. Id Yaksha Sidratama Yaksha. It's veiled in mystery, unspeakable mystery. Ma Zaghal Basar O Ma Tagha. His eyes did not serve, did not blink, nor was he, nor did he miss. لَقَدْ رَعَى مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّي الْكُبْرَى. He has indeed seen one of the mighty signs of his Lord. Of course, this is the angelic manifestation. Of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the angelic manifestation, Angel Jibreel in his original form when he came down from Ghar Hira. And you see, you can imagine how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam climbed that mountain, coming down through Ajiyad. Ajiyad, now there is a hospital there, there are posh hotels there. Before that, you could imagine, you could see how the Prophet coming down. And it was in Ajiyad, when he was at Ajiyad, that he looked up, because he was addressed by Jibreel and greeted, and he looked up and he saw the entire horizon covered with this mighty manifestation, the original form of Jibreel alayhi salam. And the other time is in the Mi'raj. This is one of the mighty signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced this, all of this, in a fraction of night. So the distance was wrapped up for him, because Allah is beyond space and time. Tabarakalladhi nazzala al-furqana ala abdihi. Exalted is he who sent down the criterion on his servant. لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا أَلَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Who has absolute sovereignty over the heavens and the earth. So God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show the Prophet the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dominion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after this, this is to comfort Rasulullah and to give him that strength, certitude, yaqeen. So that, you know, you and I, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. We become so focused and obsessed with the visible world, sensible world, with the mundane world, with the materialistic world, we don't see beyond it. And then when we die, النَّاسُ نِيَامٌ فَإِذَا مَاتُوا تَنَبَّهُوا. People are asleep, but when they die, they will wake up to the reality hidden. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shown this, and of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him. You know, unique gift of Mi'raj was the five daily prayers. All other pillars in Islam, all other commandments in Islam, it was not issued directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Angel Jibreel was sent. But in the case of Salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly communicated this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as-salatu mi'raj al-mumin. It's our gift. What is our share from the mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is a miracle. Of course, miracle breaking the laws of nature as we know it. Allah has other laws. As Imam Shah Waliullah said, miracle is that one set of laws breaks another set of, comes to break another, because there are different laws operating in this universe, levels. So one set of laws take precedence over others. So it's a breach of the natural order of things, but it's not a breach of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there are other laws operating. The source of all these laws is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So salah is the gift. And that is why our share in the Mi'raj is to establish this prayer. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you are in sujood, we are making that intimate communion, munajat, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So take care, how do you engage in this munajat? So of course, we should be pouring our heart after making that tasbih. The fixed tasbih, we can make supplications, even in our own language, as Imam Nawawi and others have said. But there is no need for us to use the words, but our heart, we can pour our heart before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا إلى دين الإسلام وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Let us pray for brothers and sisters who passed away. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. Let us also pray for those who are sick and suffering. اللهم يا ربنا ورب كل شيء ومليكه. اللهم رب الناس أذهب الباس، اشفي أنت الشافي، اشفي أنت الشافي، اشفي أنت الشافي. اللهم اشفهم شفاء تاما لا يغادر سقما. ربنا لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا دينا إلا قضيته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا ميتا إلا رحمته، ولا حاجة تلقي إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين. أقم الصلاة.